First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the show. I'm going to apologize in advance for my voice this week. I have a little head cold. One of the things, you have one kid, you get sick a little more often. You get two kids, you get sick pretty much every month. I'm basically like John Travolta in Boy in the Plastic Bubble right now. Dave Damashek, you remember that movie?
Of course. What do you mean? I've seen everything with Travolta. That's even pre his syndrome, which afflicts me as well, which is the John Travolta big head syndrome.
Yeah.
The first 15 pounds you gain goes straight to your head.
Right.
It sort of balloons up. Yeah, that was even before he was afflicted with that
terrible
disease.
I think that was one of the first TV movies I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just remember him getting out of the bubble in the end, and his girlfriend was there, and he was looking at the trees and stuff and thinking like, oh, he made it out of the bubble.
They don't make those anymore, do they, really? There's no,
no
TV movie.
Well, I think they do make them. It's just that we don't see them because
our life's
better. Yeah. I better introduce you.
Why don't you?
This is my friend Dave Damashek, who I used to work with on Jimmy Kimmel Live, who now is the host of the Drive Time Show on ESPN Radio in Los Angeles.
7:10.
7:10 a.m., and it goes from 4 to 7, right?
Correct, yes.
And you have you and really no sidekick, just a cast of characters.
That's right. Number one in Los Angeles.
Is that true?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's say it, though. It sounds really cool.
It does sound excellent. And I just want to have him on because – not just because his show launched last week.
Right, just last Monday.
But because he's from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, PA.
That's exactly right. This is – we're natural rivals.
We're natural rivals. And – Steelers-Pats this weekend.
Well, it's not just that. It's all coming to a head for you and me because we have Pats-Steelers
right
on Sunday. And then the following week, presumably, should I defeat the Dutch Mooks in the first round of the fantasy playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
It shall be the two of us head-to-head in that
it's
matchup.
Big month for us.
I'll be the underdog in both of those matchups.
We should fight. We should just have a charity boxing match to cap it off or something. First of all, I think people underestimate the Steelers-Pats rivalry because people from Pittsburgh not only hate the Pats but have a complex about whether they can actually beat them or not.
That's right.
But deep down, the Pats have your number and you know it.
Well,
and you don't
it, as much as it pains me to say so, I don't even think rivalry is applicable with this sort of thing. Because
feud?
It's sort of like as a Steelers fan, it's the equivalent of the way we regard Browns fans. I love it wherever I go, people who are from Cleveland come up to me and they say, oh, you're a Steeler fan? I'm a Browns guy. We're bitter rivals. And I say, really? Are we rivals? Because as far as I can tell, rivalry means that you sometimes win.
Right.
We destroy you whenever it counts and have for the last 40 years.
True.
Same thing with you as a Red Sox fan. I always discounted until the Red Sox finally started to take care of the Yankees. I always thought, why would Yankees fans even engage in discussion about this being a rivalry? You're their toy to beat around.
It was a feud. It was like a hammer feuding with a nail.
That's right. Yeah.
The hammer just knocks in the nail every year, and we were the nail.
Well, as I've said many times before, I'm sure you don't need me to tell you this. The thing now, Yankees fans, for all of time, you now have trumped them. They say,
yeah.
26 World Series. Yeah. Guess what? 3-0. You're the only team in history to blow the 3-0, and that trumps all. That's the most shameful thing that's happened in postseason baseball.
Well, and then the best part is every time a team is down 3-0, they'll show the graphic.
Yeah.
It's a constant reminder every time. Like, what was it? I think it was the NBA playoffs last year. I think the Bulls were down 3-0, one of those teams, and I was just waiting for it the whole fourth quarter. I was like, come on. Come on, give it to me.
There
it is.
The only bad thing about it is when they show major sports, I know you don't count hockey as a major sport.
No, I count it back then, though, in 75.
1975, the Pittsburgh Penguins blew it to the Islanders.
You know, actually, let's table those Steelers-Pats for a second, because you're probably the only hockey fan I know, other than Josh Gardner.
I'm one of six or seven people who has the NHL center ice ticket. Yeah, and I watch the Pens every night.
How much does that cost?
It's my great delight.
How much does it cost?
They pay me $200. because and they just make sure I watch three games a season, and they say, hey, that's ahead of the
game. You get credited.
That's
you
right.
Your account gets credited.
Listen, I got news for you. Everybody's missing out. You're too cool for school not watching the great sport of hockey, and Kid Crosby is making magic every night he hits the ice with the black and gold Pittsburgh Penguins.
Okay, but if your team didn't have like seven of the eight good young stars in the league, would you care as much?
No, I wouldn't, but I'm saying that they are now the magnitude of the skill and greatness on that team right now with Geno Malkin and a bunch of the other kids they have there. Everybody, including yourself, I'll thank you, sports guy Bill Simmons, to start taking a look at this team on a regular basis. It would be a real shame for it to go under the nose of North America what's happening right now.
Well, I have selfish reasons for turning against the NHL because the Bruins, the owner, is just a jerk and just would not spend the extra $2 million. When we had Stanley Cup contenders basically from 88 to 92, any of those years we had a chance to win, and they were always like skimping with fourth line centers and fifth defensemen. And after a while, a lot of people got fed up, including me. Like, they just didn't care. So that was part of it. But also, the devil's trap. The devils. The devils.
That's exactly right. 1995, the New Jersey Devil Stanley Cup was the worst victory. It was had the most adverse effect on a sport as I can remember in our lifetime, at least. The Marlins winning back in whatever that was against the Tribe. What was that? 97, 98.
Yeah.
When they won that one, that was pretty bad for the sport of baseball. But this was the worst because the trap in hockey that the Devils brought to it made everybody start to mimic that style. Yeah. And suddenly you had 1-0 games every night of the night of the week.
And also they had so much momentum from the year before, because the year before they had that, the Sports Illustrated had the NHL taking over the NBA.
That's right. Well, you had you go from Gretzky and his Oilers, the high flying Oilers of the late 80s. Then you go into that 66 Lemieux and the wonderful Penguin teams.
Right.
Then the Rangers win a Stanley Cup, which brings all the attention of the globe onto
the
sport.
Biggest season they had.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and
that
then
was
the
like
Devils
that cross.
Right.
When the Rangers won, that really, I thought it was a mainstream sport for about 2 months. Everybody was into that.
But this kid Crosby, it's not hyperbole to say, is, you can see right now, if, barring injury, will go down as one of the top three forwards in the history of the game. You can see it right now.
Do you feel good about those cups that the Penguins won after?
What do you mean? I feel wonderful about
them. Well, after one of your guys deliberately maimed Cam Neely.
All Samuelson
derailed our dynasty.
Deliberately maimed nobody. I know that this is going to lead into a Kimo Van Olhoffen discussion that you think somehow Pittsburgh people.
Well, that's true too.
Do that. But, I have no beef at all with that. That was within the play. It's a completely overstated thing by Bruins fans that Ulf Samuelson deliberately stuck his knee into Cam Neely.
Oh, he did,
Oh, he did not.
And then when Neely finally got back on the ice and got his revenge, Samuelson turtled. Neely had to, like, basically punch the sides of his body and his hips. He wouldn't even fight back.
Anybody who likes to play it, play a little gritty style of hockey and also wears the visor, you got to question
his
integrity.
At least like 30% of this is the fact that you look at somebody like Cam Neely. Those were the type of guys that were playing in the 70s, 80s, 90s. The guys who could mix it up a little, that score, all that stuff. And now we just have all these Europeans. We got the visors. We got
Your beloved NBA's in trouble if that's the case, don't you? Well, it's all Euros as well.
No, I'm just saying the style's different. Like, in the 80s and the 70s, guys like Wayne Cashman who had like a beer belly and he's skating around.
My most hated teams, and I guess this will tie back into the Patriots, it's funny how much I hate the Patriots now. Because growing up, obviously, as a Patrick Division fan of the NHL watching the Penguins, the Flyers and Islanders are two of my most hated teams in all of sports.
Yeah.
I really hate them. But the Patriots have now joined that pantheon.
Oh, I'm honored.
Yeah. I really can't stand them. Can't stand.
It's great.
But those were the Islanders in the 70s. And then as much as I dislike Gretzky and company, as much as I dislike those Oiler teams, they changed. The game was already headed in that direction. The offensive brand, and then 66 and company picked up on that style.
Yeah, but you had a nice mix, though. Like, you had the Guy Lafleurs and the Jean Ratels, and every team had a couple guys like that. We had Jean Ratel and Peter McNabb. Like, those guys never mixed it up. Then you had, on the other end, you always had the two or three enforcers. You had the one big defenseman who would mix it up. You had the guy who could score and fight. We had Terry Riley. And it seems like that mix was off.
I hear you what you're saying, but I will say the shame of everybody missing out on NHL hockey because it's relegated to the rodeo station, whatever it's called, the rodeo TV network with Ultimate Fighting versus this thing. It's too bad because pretty much every team has now one superstar at least that is worth
one
going
superstar?
Out to say. One great player.
Like
one really
70 NHL teams, though.
I know. There are too many NHL teams. That's the first order of business. They should get rid of all the teams in the South. They should keep Dallas because they're successful.
How many are there now?
What are there? There are a couple teams in Florida. 29? There's Carol. I don't know. What is it? 29, 30 teams.
Do you like my idea of cutting down to 22? 11 Canada, 11 American. Two conferences.
I love it. That's it. That's
that would
the first
save the NHL.
Make it return it to being a regional sport up
right.
in the North. People in the South don't care. Stop trying to make that happen. Keep Dallas. Keep LA. I guess you have to keep Anaheim because they possess the Stanley Cup.
I get rid
Cup.
Of Anaheim.
Well, but they have
I
the Cup. You can't disband
cities.
Them while they have the Stanley
nah,
Cup.
I get rid of them position. Anyway.
All right, so be it. I'll be
I
an merge interesting
them with
story.
The Kings.
Yeah, move them up, but yeah, merge some teams. But anyway, you have like Ilya Kovalchuk and guys like that that nobody sees playing
yeah.
in Atlanta that are, you know,
oh,
guys
it's
like.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, it all goes back to Gary Bettman who killed the sport.
Yeah, he's atrocious.
Cause he thought it was like the NBA when it's not, but I think I told you this story. I was in Vancouver for a shoot for, that we did for ESPN and, the Red Sox Yankees was that night. So they don't have Sports Center in Canada. They have the Canadian Sports Center. Mm-hmm. So I put it on. And the lead story was Lion Messier, the fact that he was trying out with one of these teams. This is like late August. 6 minutes on Lion Messier's tryout, Mark Messier's son. And we didn't get to Red Sox Yanks till like the 23-minute mark of this Canadian Sports Center. And I'm thinking, like, how does Canada not have 20 NHL teams? Like, it's so far, they love the sport so much more than we do here. It's no contest.
Yeah.
It's their national sport.
It's exactly right. Move them up, move a team to Hamilton, which is essentially a suburb of Toronto. The New York City has two baseball teams, and now there are three essentially hockey teams
Quebec
in
should have one.
Right.
Winnipeg
yeah.
should have one again.
Lake Erie Vol. Let's get the Nords and the Habs going again.
You know, hey, the Quebec Nordiques was one of the five or six greatest. That combination of team names and uniforms.
Oh, wonderful uniforms.
The uniforms are beautiful.
Striking blue.
Yeah.
Oh,
really
don't get
nice.
Me started on uniforms. And by the
well,
way,
we don't
you
have
said the
time.
first 23 minutes of that Canadian Sports Center was devoted to hockey and people, you couldn't believe that. What do you think your listeners to this podcast are thinking right now?
No, I think there's anybody over the age of like 30 feels a little nostalgic about the NHL. Because I know my thing is it might have gotten a little too fast. Because I think that's what happened with tennis. Tennis just got, the guys were too good and the serves 130 miles an hour and you don't have the wooden rackets anymore and it's like watching a video game. I don't feel any connection to the talent of the players. It's just too fast.
I
you
suppose
know what I mean?
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, but it really has sort of moved into what I think is at least a pretty nice place, which is now they've gotten away from that ugly New Jersey Devil trap nonsense.
Right.
That no longer is there. And then they tried to loosen it up with some hokey rules changes. But it is glorious to watch now. It's now settled into a place that's pretty enjoyable for
me.
Yeah,
but they need to get rid of like 8 teams.
I agree. Yeah I'm not
do.
Arguing
and
that.
The other thing that needs to happen, and I hate to unnecessarily tout the worldwide leader, but it really rubs me the wrong way that we would keep the WNBA rights and we would do the Arena Football League, and yet the NHL is just sitting there waiting to be saved. It seems like we should make a deal with them.
I would love to
what
see
ESPN
the numbers.
Too?
I think that's got to be a lie by somebody. I don't know who can say nobody watches NHL hockey. Who
yeah.
tunes into that? I'm sorry, there's no reason we should show it because it gets about 17 viewers a night. Who watches WNBA? Have you ever met one person in the world who watches WNBA basketball?
No, and it's a niche league, and I think
it's not a niche. There's no a niche
well,
is zero.
Is niche.
Who watches it?
No, there's a niche, and we won't go into that. But there is a niche. my problem is that we're now in year 11, right? Would have caught on by now if it was going to catch on. I think it is what it is. I think like I'm going to take my daughter to a game this spring, whatever. I think it's a father and daughter's league, and I think it also appeals to maybe an alternative. Demographic.
Yeah. Well, you're taking your daughter though to get a column out of it, so you can have a laugh at the expense of the WNBA.
No, you know what? I'm gonna take her with an open mind and see what she thinks. But I don't know. You know, I've talked to the NBA higher ups about this. I've talked to the ESPN higher ups, and it seems like they feel like they're doing something noble. Like, listen, this league's going to take some time, but you're going to have a daughter. She's going to be 18 someday. Maybe she'll be good at basketball. She'll dream of playing for this league. I'm fine with all that. I get that. I just don't understand why we show it on ESPN and why we promote it.
Put it on Lifetime,
really.
Why
do we promote it during the NBA games? Like, what evidence is there that there's a link to somebody who's watching a Cavs-Pistons game that might be interested in a Sparks-Mercury game? There's no link.
It's atrocious.
It doesn't exist. It's two different things.
All right, so the alternative group that you allude to aside, really, I've never talked to any sports fan, you know, man or – forget about guys. If women who claim to like sports – and there's obviously a section of those people, the diehard sports fans that are women who know way too much about sports to the extent that it becomes off-putting when women know, heterosexual women know too much about it.
Yeah, it's threatening in some way.
Yeah, it's just odd. Yeah, it's not an attractive thing. But even those women, I've asked them, have you ever looked at a WNBA game? They scoff at it.
Right, but I think all of us understand the appeal of women's college basketball. I don't necessarily love it, but I like the passion, the students, the crowds. Like, it's much more exciting.
Well, here's the thing with women playing basketball or really any sport. And I don't mean to sound misogynistic because I have a little a little daughter, too.
We both have daughters.
Yeah. And it's a delight, by the way, as you promised it would be. But I'll say this about women playing sports. And it happens to be true that there's an odd paradox with men and women, which is that when women play sports, even the good ones, high school, I mean, college level basketball playing women, when they shoot the ball, they still look like girls doing it versus a mediocre male athlete. When he shoots a ball, if you and I go outside and shoot the ball, we'll look regular shooting the ball. Right. We don't look goony or uncoordinated, but women look like girls shooting the ball. Here's the paradox though. That coordination you think would lend itself to the dance floor, right? But it doesn't. When you watch even a mediocre woman dance, they look coordinated. They look like they know what they're doing, but you put you and me out on the dance floor, we'll look like ridiculous fools.
And we have.
No, yeah, well, I put an end to it once I caught myself on a video from somebody's wedding many years back. But you see, isn't that a weird paradox? You think it would transfer. I can shoot the basketball. I can throw a ball and look like a guy doing it. But when I go dance, I look just shameful.
Well, I've written about this before, but the difference between women's sports and men's sports is that men are going to be a little bit better than women. It's just natural. Like, you take a men's tennis player is going to beat a women's tennis player. A men's basketball player is going to beat a woman. So no matter where you go, the men are going to be a little better. So if you're watching the woman over the men, you're watching it for a specific reason. And I think the reason that women's tennis is by far the most successful women's tennis sport is because there's some sex appeal with the sport. And for anybody to say that's not the case, they're lying. I mean, they just are. Like, Anna Kournikova won one tournament and is the most successful female athlete ever. So you cannot tell me that sex appeal and looks that lend themselves to sports like tennis don't matter. Danica Patrick is cute. That's why we know who the hell she is. And with the WNBA, for whatever reason, it's, you know, they have the baggy uniforms that are unflattering. For the most part, I guess Sue Bird is cute, but there haven't been really a lot of breakout. There definitely has been like a Kournikova type.
Yeah, my rule, if a woman's over 6'4", she's officially
attractive. And they're big. Like, you know, they're all nice, but I think that's what the WNBA is missing over everything. It's like, you look at the women's tennis players and they're girls that they're sweaty. They're wearing tight outfits. They're wearing little skirts.
The little skirt that.
And we're going to watch. You and I are going to watch.
Essentially, it's legalized sort of softcore porn when you think about it, because you're seeing their underpants. I mean, they call them athletic, whatever undergarment, but they're really just underpants.
And they're grunting.
Yeah.
And they're sweaty. And I mean, people are in denial if they think these are all not reasons why this is a very successful sport.
Well, I mean, the easiest way to prove that point is if you showed everybody in America a picture of Lindsay Davenport and a picture of Anna Kournikova, who do you think would be more recognized? Obviously, Lindsay Davenport.
Yeah,
what is she, number one? See, I don't know enough about it, I guess.
Yeah, or like...
she's up there.
Or Marismo, whatever her name, Amelia Marismo.
Yeah.
Nobody would pick her out of a police
lineup. I do. You know, by the way, she was in the news about a month ago. I know you don't agree with this. Martina Hingis.
I always liked her.
She was quietly foxy.
Because she had that kind of crazy look.
Yeah.
She had that look like you'd break up with her and she'd start calling you all the time and hanging up. Do you watch Tell Me You Love Me?
Tell me you love him. Oh, yeah, I've seen it here and there, yeah.
There's a character on that show that kind of has a little hinges in her. Kind of that kind of look like she's a little off. I always liked hinges. Yeah. I always liked Celis,
why do you
too.
Call her hinges, by the way?
What is it?
Hingis. Martina Hingis.
Whatever.
She's only been in the news for the last 15 years. You don't know her name?
Names.
She got a knife stuck in her, and you can't do her the service of
no,
learning her
Celis.
Name?
Monica Seles had the knife stuck in her.
You don't have to embarrass
which,
me.
Which, by the way, might have been the most underrated sports moment of the last 15 years. A Steffi Graf fan, runs out of the court and stabs Monica Seles in the back. That should have been the biggest story of the 1990s.
It's really something. Do you suppose it's because they didn't want to bring it more attention so that it never happened? I really thought at the time, and I don't want to promote the idea of doing it, but it is, I really thought,
that'd
oh, this
trend.
Is, I thought when it happened, I remember talking to people about it and saying, I'm surprised that this hasn't happened before, and I assumed it would happen again at some point.
So you'd think it would happen in soccer because people are completely irrational with soccer. Hey, what are we at the, almost at the 20-minute mark already.
Really? And we filled it with WNBA and NHL.
Well, that's
two sports that no one cares about. Let's move on to rhythmic gymnastics and we'll cover the trio.
No, I wanted to make sure because we're bringing Cousin Sal on to the Week 14 picks. We have to talk about Steelers-Pats for a little bit.
Sure.
First of all, in your opinion, why did Roethlisberger become Ben? Why is he Ben?
What does that mean?
Mike Tirico call him Ben? Ben's back to pass. Here's Ben on third down. Ben's going to take off. Why is he on this first name basis with all these play-by-play guys? Because they can't say Roethlisberger?
I guess it's a part of a thing, a couple of things on that. First of all, my old man, if you're over the age of, say, I think the point is maybe 60 years of age, if a name is a little bit long, you refuse to pronounce it correctly. And I think it's a willful mispronunciation on some level. Like my old man... Always, he's a big Red Sox fan like yourself. He always would say, and he's, you know, diehard and watched him for years. And every time we would talk about the Red Sox in the postseason, he would say to me, I think Garcia Saparra's got to get it going here. Like, old man, you've been watching him for years now. Start saying his name right. And when they drafted Roethlisberger, the Steelers, and he started with the Rossenberger talk, and I said, listen, we got 12 years to go here. You must master Roethlisberger here and now because I don't want to put up with this. But anyway, so yeah, I think there's part of that. And beyond that, I think it's also this joke that has gone on since at least I've been around where broadcasters love to struggle with the pronunciation of any foreign name. They'll say, you know, they love to do Evgeny Malkin. Did I get that right? Hey, nice job getting that one right there, Ed. You did a great job. The laughing at things that aren't funny between the two
people. Oh, wait, do the other thing. What was the thing about when they – like Julio Franco. Julio Franco, what is he, 130 years old?
Yeah, let's put an end to that joke, too. The exaggeration of somebody's age for a laugh. That's a great one,
What is we should probably...
Vinny Testaverde under center. He's 113 years old. Nicely done. Nicely played.
Yeah, I watch ESPN News now almost exclusively.
Really?
Yeah, I like the guys who don't have the shtick. Who aren't trying to make me laugh, who just give me the highlights, and they're a little awkward. And
tune into my show. I'm giving you just what you want then.
Well, I don't know. I think we've seen this, not to segue into LA Sports Radio, but one of the reasons I was happy you got a show is because it's really hell listening to the sports radio shows they have here. It's all the stuff that anybody would hate, like the over-laughing, the fake laughing, the throwing out the stupid statements and then arguing about them for an entire segment just to fill like 15 minutes. And
I'm going to say something right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some letters about it. I'm sure I'm going to get some calls about it. But if you're one of the people who thinks that I'm trying to think of who they would throw out as a name. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good one. They go the other way. I like when they throw something out that no one thinks to begin with.
And then they start to argue with themselves.
They argue against themselves. If you think that Rex Grossman is the best quarterback in the NFL, I'm here to tell you, you're wrong. I mean, he just is not. I'm sorry. Let me tell you why. I mean, he throws bad interceptions at bad moments of the game, and they fill 20 minutes talking about why Rex Grossman isn't the best quarterback in the NFL when no one in the world would do it. And the most frustrating thing is you always get somebody who does end up calling in and say, I disagree. I think Rex Grossman is possibly the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah. And then they're so, like, skewed with especially this Kobe stuff. Insufferable the last year or so, and people calling up these fake trades, and the host, like, not knowing how the salary cap works. Like, what if we get Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady for Kobe? And the host is like thinking about it. Well, that's a lot for Houston to give up. Like, you schmuck, there's no way that trade could happen.
Well, beyond the salary cap, that's the common thing is when people start suggesting, I don't know why we just don't give up our mediocre player for the three all-stars on the other team.
Yeah,
I think
that'd
be a great trade for us.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, back east, you're from Pittsburgh, I'm from Boston. Sports radio really takes on a greater importance for some reason. And possibly because of the cold weather, sports means more, I don't know. Does sports radio even matter out here?
I think so. I think they're diehard.
I think
first of all, they're diehard local fans. I think specifically with LA, I think what is untrue is I think there's the national perception that LA doesn't have diehard fans. Laker fans, Dodger fans are very intense. Halo fans are huge. Even Kings, like all NHL cities, have their collection of diehards. I think that's an overstatement that nobody cares about sports. And then the SC-UCLA thing is obviously big, too. I think the problem is, like any transient city, is that there's so many people from somewhere else here that that's what breaks things up.
That's a problem.
But I guess it doesn't afflict New York or Chicago as much.
I don't feel the sense of community with sports here that you do back east. Like, I remember, pretty much from game five on with the Red Sox in Cleveland and my friends telling me what the city was like. And just when the Red Sox would have a big game and you walk around the city that day in Boston, you could feel it. Like, you just see people wearing, everybody's got a Red Sox hat on or a Red Sox sweatshirt or a Red Sox t-shirt, and you just see the look in people's eyes, and there's this real sense that you're all in it together. I'm sure Pittsburgh's the same way. Like,
well, nobody.
The Steelers game.
Of course. Nobody.
I don't feel that way here.
There's nobody living in the city of Pittsburgh that wasn't born there. Nobody moves from Chicago to Pittsburgh. Nobody moves from San Francisco to Pittsburgh. And so, of course, 100% of the people you see when it's playoff time for the Steelers or for the Penguins, obviously not for the Pirates, that's a moot conversation. But everyone you see, you can engage in an intense discussion. Here, if you tried to walk down the street like, hey, y'all set for the big game? People would say, what game are you talking about? UCLA, USC.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I don't really care about that one. Of course, that's
or like even like, you'll be getting gas, you'll be getting a coffee, you'll be buying a newspaper, and you'll hear two people in earshot talking about that night's game, but here you won't.
Yeah.
In Boston, anywhere you go, you'll hear Red Sox code words, like you'll hear shilling. You just hear there's a general buzz.
I guarantee you that right now, as we speak, I guarantee you that there is one topic of conversation in the city of Pittsburgh right now, and it's can we beat the Pats? That's what it's about.
That's what – I don't know if you saw the Ravens-Pats game on Monday.
Of course.
Kornheiser at one point in the third quarter was – because I don't know if he's doing it intentionally or if he really believes this, but he's convinced that, everybody hates the Pats and he's painting them as –
they do. Everybody hates the Patriots.
First of all, I don't think that's necessarily true.
It is true.
I think they're a villain, but I don't know if everybody hates them. I think some people actually are interested to see if they're going to go undefeated.
I'm intrigued, but I don't hate them. They're a collection of cheats and villains and scumbags.
Hold on, we're going to get to this.
Rodney Harrison is a scumbag.
All right, hold on.
All right.
So Kornheiser during this game, in his defense of how much everybody hates the Patriots, is telling a story about how we were in Pittsburgh last week at a bar and Eagles Patriots were on and everybody in that bar was rooting against the Patriots. People hate this team. And I'm thinking, does he not know the Steelers and the Pats are like natural rivals? Like everybody in Pittsburgh hates the Pats? That would have happened last year. How do people not know that this is like a great rivalry?
Well, again, going back to where we started before the fringe sport talk, the thing is that the Patriots, it's not really a rivalry.
I have to say,
yeah, it would be disingenuous to say that I feel like the Patriots haven't had our number. I mean, I suffered two of the greatest wounds I've ever suffered as a sports fan. Both times, in January of '02 and January of '05,
right.
I jumped on a red eye on Saturday night, flew out to Pittsburgh, got off, took a cab straight to Heinz Field, got into the tailgate under the cloak of night, literally under the cloak of night in bitter temps.
Yeah.
Watched the Steelers who were, what were they, 15-point favorites in the first one when the Patriots went on and beat the Rams
13 and a half, something like that.
I was obviously sick to my stomach from that one.
Well, let's talk about that game for a second, because for some insane reason, and probably just because you're a lunatic, you actually believe the Steelers should have won that game.
Obviously, they should have won the game. It was a couple of flukes. First of all, I won't even get into the Tuck rule, but that they shouldn't have been in.
Tuck rule didn't happen in that game.
It happened the weekend before, and the Raiders would have been playing in Heinz Field in a game that America would have preferred to see much more.
You mean the Tuck rule, the play that Charles Woodson hit Brady in the helmet with his forearm as he made the sack?
Oh, wow, that
wasn't called either.
Unbelievable.
I'm
You've been able to spin that one.
I'm just
and
saying.
Somehow in the you,
the blow to the head, that's not a penalty?
Look, I don't want to get into the Tuck rule. The point is, everybody would have preferred to see the Raiders play the Steelers on a classic rivalry. Now,
I'm sorry you guys packed your bags for the Super Bowl, and then the Pats decided to
make
a football game.
I literally packed my bags for the Super Bowl. I had already paid for my Super Bowl ticket and my flight out to New Orleans, and I decided when the Steelers lost, well, of course, I can't go to the Super Bowl now. That would be wrong. That would be disloyal or whatever. And then I was talked into it because I had arrangements with Cousin Sal and Kimmel and Carolla.
Right.
And that group of guys were all going out there, and they said, you have to go now. It's too late. The ticket's already taken care of, whatever. So I said, fine, I'll do it. And we went out there, and the day of the morning of the Super Bowl, we went out to one of the oyster houses there, and I had an oyster. And by the end of the game, I threw on the worst sick I've ever thrown on in my life. I got food poisoning from the oyster.
Wow.
And I was in a room with Cousin Sal, who is the greatest tormentor in the history of tormenting people. And so he was trying to watch me throw up and laugh at me while I was doing it. I'm throwing up in a hotel toilet in New Orleans with one hand. I'm trying to hold the door shut to the bathroom so Cousin Sal can't get in there and laugh at me. And I was so sick. 7 hours, I was able to keep a tally in my 20 vomits. In
wow.
7 hours. And it's one of those things that when you get the food sickness, by about the third or fourth one, you've completely purged everything.
You're just throwing up bile.
And the sounds that you're throwing into the toilet bowl are inhuman. They're like, whoa, sound. And you just hope you could die, but at least you're not lucid. And that's the only thing that allows you to not take your own life.
My memory of Super Bowl 36 was a little bit better because I was in the end zone of the Vinatieri kick and my team won the first Super Bowl ever. So, yeah, it's kind of the two extremes.
Oh, it was the worst. It was so miserable. To walk around New Orleans and see all those Patriot fans everything
was
so,
so
sad.
Gross. Look, the bottom line is you didn't make the Super Bowl because Cordell Stewart was a bad quarterback.
Well, it wouldn't have come to that.
He's out of the league in 2 years.
He was lousy. There's no doubt.
But you needed him to make a couple plays in that game and he couldn't do it.
Well, a few things. First of all, if anyone wants to go back this far, the key play of the game was in a tight zero. It was 0-0.
Are you going to do the hash mark thing?
That's exactly what I'm going to do. The referees cost the Steelers that game with this play.
Well, the referees cost you that game.
Listen, it was nip and tuck. If the Steelers had just taken the lead, if they had scored a touchdown to go up 7-0, that game's over.
It was over.
Instead, the Josh Miller from, I guess, his own goal line or thereabouts, kicks the ball and gets a great bounce. It goes up the left sideline, and all of a sudden the Patriots, you could tell it was going to be a field position type of game.
Right.
And all of a sudden the Patriots are pinned all the way back to their 25 when it looked like they were going to get the ball in good field position. A flag is thrown on Troy Edwards, who ran out of bounds and came back in. And
that's not a penalty?
It's a penalty, and it's a frustrating one, too, because Troy Edwards explains after the game, but I was trying to make the tackle. Yeah, but you understand you have to do it within the constraints of the rules, right? Yeah, but I was trying to make the play.
Okay, thanks.
But anyway, so then the referee spots the ball in the wrong place. He put it in the middle of the two hash marks instead of on the left hash where he punted from originally, and so he had to punt straight up the middle of the field. Troy Brown fielded it, and we know that he ran it back for a touchdown, and down the hill it went.
And the referees didn't make any of the tackles during the Troy Brown return.
Look,
is that another one of your points?
It broke my heart, but the one that I'll never come back from, I will walk with a limp. If the Steelers win the next 20 Super Bowls, I'll still always walk with a limp from January of 05. 1 degree temperature, sitting in that weather. It was exciting because that's the greatness of sitting outside for a football game, is you feel a part of the action.
Yeah.
You feel like you're making a commitment with the players. But anyway, so sitting out there and we're 15-1, and we have a chance to derail, not just for our own purposes, but we have a chance to derail the Patriots joining that very small group of teams that have won three Super Bowls in a tight time frame and everything, and to get into that next level of conversation of legendary teams. And when it was 21-3 at halftime, and the Steelers just about came back, and if Plexico Burress catches that ball on the first play of the fourth period there on the fade pass that hits him in the hands and he just drops it, the Steelers are down 7 with an entire quarter left.
Sorry about that. I'm sorry your own guy dropped the pass.
I'm just saying, if he catches the ball, the things maybe play out differently, but that one broke my heart in a way.
Didn't the Pats
I'll never come
21?
Back. Whatever the fine. No, I think it was I'm not going to debate that with you. I don't care about that. The point is the Steelers had it going in their favor, and that just derailed the thing.
I just remember Vinatieri, the whole Heinz Field, nobody can make a field goal in that end. Vinatieri comes out and crushes like a 49-yarder and breaks the stadium record. I was like, we are not losing this game.
Yeah, number 7, the first play of the game, or first pass of the game, threw it right to the Pat. Yeah, that was
Roethlisberger, his playoff performances have been a little sketchy.
Untrue. That's another one that you like to throw around. I know you love to throw that one around. He had his rookie season when nobody performs in the playoffs, he didn't. And in his second season, he won the Super Bowl.
He had like a 10 rating, 10 QB rating in the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl, but prior to that, he beat the Bengals. Then he went into Indianapolis and was marvelous there, and then hit the greatest game arguably he's ever played in the AFC title game in Mile High, where I sat in the stands and shed tears of joy. And I'm not saying I'm responsible for the victory. A lot of people in Pittsburgh, a lot of the family members and friends said, Dave Damashek, you don't belong in that game. You're a jinx. You were there to watch the Chargers beat us in 94 in Three Rivers. You were there for those Patriot losses. Please do us a favor and stay clear of the Steelers playing in the playoffs. I said, no way. Not Coach Cowher and I. We're going to get this thing done. Today's the day we get over the hump. I went before the game. They have these big horses, these big Bronco statues. I took the terrible towel and I rubbed it all over the Broncos and I put a pox on them. You're welcome, Pittsburgh.
Well, I don't think you needed to do anything because Jake Plummer was involved. He was going to do most of the work for you.
He was bad.
You talk about lucky breaks. One of the most underrated ones of this decade was that Colt, the Jerome Bettis fumble and the Colt cutting the wrong way. The guy who had gotten stabbed like 3 days before. What was that guy's name? Harper?
Yeah, Nick Harper, right?
Nick Harper. Cutting the wrong way, cutting right into Roethlisberger.
I'm tired of that.
But I mean, you have to admit that was
a bad decision on his part. But I do think you could, if you look at it, maybe Heath Miller, the tight end, tackles him. But anyway,
I knew you guys were in the Super Bowl when that happened. I was like, you got to be kidding me. This team is definitely going to win.
Watching that, the Steelers are on the 1 yard line. And I was so nervous. I was so just run the clock out. Just run the clock out. When that ball popped up, and you see Nick Harper scoop it up, and you see him clear the last line of white jerseys of the Steelers. You thought, that's it. I mean, the feeling, the being able to stand outside myself and look at the tragedy of how this was going to affect me and the rest of my life. I really don't think I ever come back from. I don't think I ever watch sports again. I think I cannot. That would be it. I would. Could happen that would ever make me enjoy sports enough to overcome the last play of Jerome Bettis' career being a fumble and a 99-yard punt return?
It's a
fumble recovery.
It was such an underrated sports moment. It really was, and nobody remembers it now. But it's funny you mention that because I have a similar play when. The Sox come back against the Yanks. They win game 4, game 5, game 6. They win bloody sock game in game 6. Take the huge lead in game 7. Terry Francona, for whatever reason, decides to bring Pedro in. Crowd's chanting, who's your daddy? Pedro starts getting hit. And I really think if they had blown that game, I would have been done. I don't know what would have happened to me. But I definitely wouldn't have followed baseball again. I would have been out. Like the Boone homer combined with that, I think I would have been out. I don't know how I root for that team again.
Yeah, a massive lead if you ended up blowing that in.
Yeah, it's like you're rooting for leukemia at that point. If you're rooting for this Red Sox team, it's like I'm rooting to have the rest of my life have cancer in my life for the rest of my life. This jinx team that will never win. Nobody ever would have come back from that.
Nah.
The other underrated Steelers thing, because the Bettis fumble never got enough attention, but the Harbaugh playoff game, the Hail Mary at the end, that it looked like he caught it for like 3 seconds in the end zone.
Well, I alluded.
That was secretly the most exciting game ever.
The Steelers are the best team in the AFC in 94 and 95. In 94, I drive out from Chicago to Pittsburgh to watch that game. and watch them lose. And now there's a tag of jinx on Damashek, you know.
Right.
And so I get in the car. I decide, I for the good of the Steelers and the city, I'm going to stay clear of that Colts game. And then I decided, you know what? No. On Saturday night, I'm getting in the car, and I'm driving to Pittsburgh for that 95 game. I get behind the wheel, and I drive about 2 hours outside of Chicago, and my car breaks down in Indiana. I'm in Munster, Indiana. My car breaks down, and I realize it's not meant to be. I have them fix my car, and I just go back to Chicago. And I contend that maybe had I been there, that ball sits on what was his name? Number 80. I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
but that wide receiver.
Guys.
Yeah, the ball. Had I been there, it might have stayed on his belly and not fallen onto the field for that split second. Aaron Bailey, I think, was his name.
Well, I don't know why the NFL Network just doesn't replay all of these games. These games should be on all the time.
Yeah.
They should be edited in a slick hour broadcast of the actual broadcast, because games like that, you forget how great, or some of those Emmitt versus the Niners playoff games and stuff, the Giants-Cowboys game and the fumble late. Like,
yeah.
There's probably like 50 games from the last, I don't know, 25 years.
It'd be easy.
You could jump in and you'd watch it any time.
And by the way, I never get credit. I invented ESPN Classic about 25 years ago. I used to say around junior high, I would say to everybody, there should be a network that they just show old games and people scoffed. Who would watch old games that you already know the outcomes to? Well, I guess it's worked out.
Well,
you're welcome,
hello?
ESPN.
We got
hello?
Cousin Sal on the line.
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
How are you?
What's going on? You know, as long as we're all taking credit, I'd like to say I invented cold pizza.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, you did. Well, I know you're familiar with Mr. Damashek's work.
Yeah.
Dave, every week, Cousin Sal Iacono from Jimmy Kimmel Live, which is no longer on the air and definitely until this writer's strike is scheduled, we go over the picks. He makes the picks on his own. Then he reads me the lines. I make my picks, and we see who does better. And the winner gets some sort of prize.
I listen to it each and every week. But I would like for him, before you get going, I think that you and I, this will be the first time Simmons and then Hench as well, the other diehard Patriots fan, we're going to watch a big game together, Steelers-Patriots. I'd like Sal as the mediator to sort of lay out some ground rules of what's acceptable sort of thing. Are there stakes on this of some sort? I mean, this is a pretty big deal for us.
This is going to be great. I actually have been thinking about the stakes for you guys. Everyone always talks about how one would do, your brother would do your chores for you for the week. Why does that have to end? Why don't you do each other's chores? The loser has to do the chores.
Chores. Were you the Bradys? Peter, you have to do Marcia's chores.
Yeah. All right, let's jump into these lines.
One more thing. How about the winner gets to appear in the loser's family Christmas card?
I like that.
That would be good.
All right, done and done.
All right.
This is including the 15 points, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Right. No,
oh.
No. I think it's straight up.
Straight up? Why? What's fair about straight up?
I thought this was a great rivalry.
I never said you're the one who keeps throwing around great rivalry.
Great feud. Okay, so Sal's going to jump into the Lions.
All right.
All right, well, we got Chicago and Washington Thursday night to kick things off.
Chicago and Washington on Thursday night.
Washington's
intriguing.
What do you think?
Hey, Sal, let me ask you quickly. Why would ESPN concentrate on all the Baltimore guys who played with Sean Taylor, knew Sean Taylor because they had the Miami connection? And you have Vince Wilfork on the Patriots and Brandon Merriweather, who played with Sean Taylor. Those guys were never mentioned or shown ever in 4 hours.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Maybe because they didn't make a big enough deal about crying and huddling together before the game.
I think that's what it was. I think if Vince Wilfork and Brandon Merriweather had just held each other and done the whole thing, I think they might have even gotten shown once.
I'm not sure that they even were aware of the Sean Taylor story because they were too busy watching videotape that had been shot of on the Ravens earlier in the week by Belichick's team.
Oh, how dare you? All right, I'm gonna say Redskins by 3.5.
Yeah, you get it. I thought this was gonna be a screwy line because I had to go to the funeral Monday night and everything, and I thought Chicago would be favored by one, but it's actually Washington by 3, so you're one ahead.
Washington by 3. I'm one ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me just say this. Bill, we never speak at length about serious issues on this podcast, but I want to talk about this Thursday night's game, and you can't say enough about like the courage and the fortitude displayed by this team of 53 men who's, you know, the hardest of conditions they have to go through. They have to suit up knowing that Rex Grossman is their quarterback. I mean, I don't know how they're going to pull it off when all is said and done.
Yeah, they've shown a lot of grit. There's no question.
All right. I thought that would build up better. All right.
No, I enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Dallas at Detroit.
This is Sunday.
That's right. And now we're
Boy,
on Sunday.
You're catching Detroit at the right time.
Yeah.
That team's in a free fall. I'm going to say Dallas by 9.
That's exactly what I said, and it's 10.5.
Dallas by 10.5.
We both get that.
Okay.
But I say look out. You know, T.O. and Romo are in sync, and if you look at his stats, T.O. really turns it on the sixth day of Hanukkah. If you look back, just look back. Have your assistant look back, and you'll see that stats
That's
are
good.
Through the roof.
That's good.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Carolina at Jacksonville.
Like this Jacksonville team. They're playing pretty tough.
Oh, yeah.
Could you be playing them in round two?
I would be. It could even be round one if they...
Could be round one?
Yeah, it could be. But, yeah, likely... Yeah. No, it would likely be Steelers playing either at the Colts.
Cleveland.
The Jags are peaking. I'm going to say Jags by 11.5.
I get that one. I said 11. It's 10.5.
Ten and a half. Just missed it.
I like that. If you were to gamble on that, you know, theoretically, that's
nice three-teamer. Yeah, nice three-teamer, no question.
They don't lose two in a row. San Diego at Tennessee, that's a good game.
San Diego at Tennessee. Now, I hate this Tennessee team. I think I've been wrong on them every week because Albert Haynesworth just conditionally decides to play and somehow singularly. Do we really think San Diego's back because they won two games? Or am I supposed to buy into San Diego and North Turner again?
Do I think the Chargers are great? I think whether or not they're back, I do think the Titans are on the fade. And so I agree with you on that, that at least the Titans aren't as good as their record shows. So,
you know what,
I go Chargers in that one.
Dave likes the Chargers,
yet?
But I don't trust the Chargers, and I refuse to take them on the road. I don't trust Turner and Cottrell. So I'm going to say I'm going to pick the Titans, but I'm going to say the line is Titans by 1.
I said 1.5. You're going to get it because I think it's a dead even pick right now.
Pick
so you get it. You get a half a point.
Doing well
yeah.
for yourself. Simmons.
Interesting. All right.
Bill and Dave, write this name down. Albert Haynesworth. Write
okay.
it down. Write it
All
down.
Right.
Remember that name. All right. Oakland at Green Bay.
Oakland at Green Bay.
Yeah.
10.5.
I hit this exact. It's 10. So, but yeah, you were right there too. So.
I've been pretty good this week.
Even 10, I guess. I don't know. Are they saying Favre's playing or is he not? I guess he's not, right?
Are they locked in at number 2? No.
They're pretty close. They're pretty close. I don't know. Tampa and Seattle have 4 losses. So.
They should rest Favre this week. This is where the streak gets into a dangerous thing where the guy's hurt, but he's playing to keep the streak, but he could actually hurt himself more. And then they're trying to win the Super Bowl. I don't know.
Well, but they're essentially locked into that 2 spot. The Giants aren't going to catch him,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. They
right.
should rest them. All right. What's next?
Why don't I say introduce him to painkillers. Maybe he likes them. Maybe he enjoys them. Who knows? It could work out.
Yeah. Nobody factors that in with Favre with the streak that he was addicted to painkillers and can't take them anymore, but still plays every week. This guy's like superhuman. It's like a cyborg.
It's the opposite of Bonds' career. Really.
Yeah, it really is. He's the anti-Bonds. What's
right.
next?
Giants at Philadelphia.
Giants at Philadelphia. Giants are so Jekyll and Hyde. It's nuts. And we have our friend Brad who watches the games with us, a big Giants fan. His head might do a 360 before the end of this season. It is possible. He's gyrating. And what a torturous team that is.
Screen.
I would bet that the Giants are favored by
Giants?
1 or so.
Oh, Dave likes the Giants by 1 here. I'm going to say they always give Philly credit. I'm going to say Philly by 1.
Yeah, I said exactly what Dave said. I thought the Giants would be favored by 1. Philly is favored by 3. So, Bill, you
Philly
you
by
down.
3. Yeah, Vegas loves the Eagles. They just, for some reason, they always give them 3 points when you shouldn't think they have them.
I thought it was weird. The Giants are favored on the road against Detroit and Chicago, but not the Eagles. I guess, no, the McNabb coming back is a world of difference, apparently.
I think when you have Eli Manning involved on the road in a cold weather game, Vegas just immediately gets nervous.
But. Vegas is real nervous about this one. They haven't put a line on it yet. St. Louis at Cincinnati. I think it's because Bulger and Farrar are both injured.
St. Louis at Cincinnati, and both QBs on St. Louis are questionable. So I'm going to say, God, is there a more loathsome team than the Bengals? Like, Dave Steelers were dying to give away that game, or at least not cover.
Keep in mind, let me just say, in the Steelers' defense, they didn't have Polamalu or Santonio Holmes or their left tackle, Marcus Smith.
I know, but you were dying to give away that game, or at least make it close, and the Bengals are just so terrible.
Carson Palmer, the supposed third-best quarterback in the NFL, completed less than 40% of his passes.
He has stunk this year. He really has. And you know why he stunk? Because one of your guys maimed them 2 years ago. That's why. They ruined his career.
I'm tired of this.
Sal, did you think that was an intentional hit by Kimo von Ohlhofen?
No. I don't think so. Why, you think so?
I just like saying it to Dave because he gets upset.
All right. I forget whose side I'm on here. I know I hate the Patriots. I guess I could hate the Steelers, too. That's fine, yeah.
You could be on the side. That's fine.
It really is an example of somebody who's a criminal who then assumes that everybody else must be a criminal, too. Sorry that because your Patriots cheat up and down the board, it doesn't mean that everyone else does, too, Simmons.
So if we had just put the cameraman in the first row like the other 29 teams do, we wouldn't have been cheaters?
I love it. I love the fact that the Patriots, that's their answer to everybody who brings this thing up, is that everybody does it. How is it possible? How is it possible that the genius Bill Belichick is the only one who got busted if everyone else is doing it?
Do your thing about the record book, because I always enjoy that one. When you look at the record book at 50
years. I'm glad you enjoy it. You and I aren't going to be around for it. 100 years from now, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren will look to say, what happened back in the early 21st century in the world of football? Yeah. Let's take out the great record book of the NFL. And out it shall come, and they'll say, let's see what happened in the calendar year 2007. And they'll turn to that page, and all they'll see there is a giant stain! A stain! And they'll try to rub it out, and it won't come out, because that's all that this season's going to be remembered for if your Belichick cheat team ends up winning the Super Bowl.
Well, by then, there'll be some cleaning compound that could take the stain out?
No, none! Nothing can wash away this stain!
Alright, we have 5 minutes to plow through the rest of these games.
Alright. Okay, Tampa at Houston is also, there's no line, so let's move on that. I guess, I don't know if Rosenfeld is starting. Let's go to Miami at Buffalo.
I would have said Tampa by 3 for that one, but Miami at Buffalo, wow, that's a nice chance for Miami to potentially get off the schneid.
Mm-hmm.
The Buffalo was frisky last week. I'm going to say Buffalo by 7.
Buffalo by 7 is exactly right. I had Buffalo by 8.
All right.
If you look at this Buffalo team, they're 6.
Buffalo gets that win against South Cowboys, by the way, when they a game they really should have had, and they're right there in the playoffs. They really are there with the Titans.
They had one other one, too. Didn't they have another?
I was just going to say that when
Elon first game of the week, first game of the season against Denver.
Yep.
Right. If Norwood's kick went through the uprights, if the Music City Miracle didn't have, there's a lot of things.
Yeah, tough times.
Minnesota at San Francisco.
Oh, love this Minnesota team. I'm going to say Minnesota by 5.
Yeah, you get it. You're closer. I said 4. It's 7.
7?
Already favored by 7 on the road.
Do you think every year there's a second-half team. Do you think Minnesota's probably the team this year, right?
I think they're the third best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah, they're the team that came on starting in November.
Yeah.
All right.
Arizona at Seattle.
Seattle has covered 4 straight times, which has to be a Mike Holmgren record. I don't think they've ever done that before. I'm going to say Seattle by 7.
That's what I said. It's 6.5. And they could clinch the division, I guess. This is probably the only division that is up in the air, right? I mean, don't you think everyone else will win where they are?
But Seattle wins the division if they win this game.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Cleveland at the
Seattle, game. The most unimpressive 8-4 team I can ever remember seeing.
Yeah, they could be 12-4, which would be really insane. What was the next one?
Cleveland at the Jets.
Cleveland. Everyone was on the gambling bandwagon last week, and it went into flames.
Yeah,
it was a crash. Jesus, So Cleveland basically has to win out to make the playoffs?
No, I don't know. I mean, it's they have to pass Tennessee, basically, right? That's the sixth seed right now.
But Tennessee goes 2-2. They'd have to go like 3-1, 4-0, probably.
They're both 7-5, aren't they?
Oh, I thought Cleveland was 6-6. I don't know. I'll have to look at it. I'm going to say Browns by 3.5.
That's exactly right, and I had it too. Damn, I wanted a gain on you there. Wow.
Yes, I'm on fire this week.
You're going to win this week. Everyone's betting Cleveland this week again too, I think.
Yeah, I'm staying away.
Let's go with Kansas City at Denver.
Kansas City at Denver. Two teams that are playing for draft pick position now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Denver by 3.
Oh, no, Denver by 6.5.
Wow, Denver by 6.5. They stink. Over anybody, that's shocking.
Yeah, that's terrible. I like KC.
No one trusts KC on the road.
Who did you have in that?
Should we save your game for last? We'll go Indy at Baltimore Sunday night.
All right. Wow.
Seems like everyone gets two night games in a row, like Pittsburgh, New England, Baltimore,
true.
Everybody's playing in two consecutive night games.
I'm going to say Indy by 8.5.
We tie because it's 9.5, and I said 10.5.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I wonder if Chris Berman will mention how the Colts used to live in Baltimore. Remember that?
Oh.
Look for that highway. Look for that highway. He might sneak it in somewhere.
He might get it in there, along with the Eagles reference.
All right, Monday night, New Orleans at Atlanta.
Ooh, the Monday night games, New Orleans, Atlanta.
Oof.
That is awful. Oh, my Lord.
Joe Theismann's happy he's not on the show anymore.
Two home games for Atlanta on Monday nights.
It's very sad that someone's fantasy playoff season is going to come to an end when Jerius Norwood scores a garbage touchdown.
I'm going to say New Orleans by 3.
I said 6, and it's 5.
Oh,
so.
Man.
Let me count these up. Pretty sure you're well ahead. Yeah, you're up. Actually, it's 9-7, including all the ties.
Okay.
And finally, your game, your big game, Pittsburgh at New England.
And it's in New England. So, I mean, I would have said 13.5. That would have been
That's exactly what I said. And I thought 13. I think Dave said 15 or 15.5 earlier, but I saw 13. I don't know if it's moved.
So. All right. So I win this week.
You win this week. Is there any way New England's looking ahead to the Jets?
No, I think New England is very concerned at this point that they can't stop the run or run the ball. They've turned into the Colts, basically. They've turned into the Colts from 2003.
I think this is a question. Now, you might have an answer immediately, but think about it. If you had to have one loss this year, would you rather it be by the Jets or at the hands of the Dolphins?
I'd rather lose to the Dolphins. I want to beat the Jets by 100 points, yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
so
I really
lose
do. I want blood for the Jets game. I actually want, me and Jeannie, I want blood coming out of his nose and his ears. is my ultimate hope for that. Hey, we have to go because we're at the very end of this one-hour taping.
We're running out of tape. All right.
Yes. We will see you next week. Thank you, as always. Cousin Sal from Jimmy Kimmel Live.
All right, good
take
time.
Care. And while we're on the subject, Dave Damaschek, thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much. And win or lose for the Patriots, I do think they're going to win by probably 2 touchdowns. But at least in my heart, I know that all the nation will be rooting for the Steelers.
Yeah, nice for you. It's nice for you. And 7:10 a.m. Monday through Friday.
7:10 ESPN.
Los Angeles, CA.
Correct.
Podcasts or anything? Do you tape any of the
There's
stuff
some podcasts,
on the website?
Yeah. 710ESPN.com.
And some of this stuff will be on there,
yep,
right? Including Broadway
Theismann and Joe Theismann and Jimmy Kimmel coming to a peace agreement after their feud on Monday Night Football.
Broadway
many weeks
Joe,
ago. Yeah.
You have Uncle
Talked
Marv.
To Tory Hunter the other day. That was great. Yeah,
I come on every once in a while.
Terrific premiere week.
Yeah, we talked about Karate Kid. It was an extensive Karate Kid.
I can't believe we made what an upset that we made it an entire hour without Karate Kid coming up.
I don't know how that happened.
Wonderful.
We're going to blow out the Kid Trilogy, and really, like, that should be its own podcast.
Fantastic. We'll have a home and home. I'd love you to come back on
the show
whenever you're free. I'll look
All
forward
right.
to it.
Okay, Dave Damaschek, and we're going to see you next week. Two podcasts next week, so look for that. Till then.
Target percent off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much.
Spotify.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.